The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
L. Duncan, Bill Plaschke, Tim Kalishaw, in 3 hours, how good is our life going to get? NFL kickoff, let me hear it, let's go.
There we go.
No team has won back-to-back Super Bowls since the 2004 Patriots. So that's what KC's going for. And then there's Mahomes specifically. Have expectations ever been higher for a quarterback going into a season? And then there's tonight, Mahomes versus Watson, which very well may be the next 15 years of our life. And our first game of any kind whatsoever because of this pandemic and what that might look like. So we start with the repeat question. The dynasty in a making conversation. Chiefs were having it all summer. Tim Kalishaw, first to you. Is KC's chance to repeat higher than any team in recent history?
Oh, I don't want to go that far. I think we're all kind of excited because some of us, it's been a long time since we all watched Super Bowl IV. I think we can agree on that in 1969, yeah. Last mm-hmm. time the Chiefs won. Some of you may have foggy memories of that. But and now they're doing the right things off the field. But I don't know that I'm not taking them against the field. I don't even think I'm taking them against Baltimore in the AFC. Ooh. I think they're really good. Ooh. They're obviously great on offense. I don't think there's anything special about the Chiefs' defense. They take advantage of the fact they get big leads, and then they come after people. I think they're really fun to watch, but they're not beyond elite.
Okay. All right. That is a banned word on the show. You may have forgotten that during quarantine. So point off to Tim Kalishaw.
Elite?
No, you're not going to get me to say it. That's bait. Go ahead, Bill Plaschke. KC's chance to repeat.
Tim, you can take the field. I will take KC by a long shot. During this uncertain offseason, it's all about continuity and stability. The Chiefs have that more than anybody else. Okay. Nine of the top 10 guys who took snaps for them last year are back. Their entire coaching staff is back. The last time a defending champion's entire coaching staff was back, Seattle went back to the Super Bowl. Their team is intact. Patrick Mahomes is obviously intact. They are rocked and ready to go. And again, they didn't need a preseason. So we didn't have one. So the Chiefs, by a long shot.
Oh, by a long shot. Plaschke, you're going to tell us it's over now before the season even starts?
Is that what I'm hearing? It's close.
L. Duncan, KC's chances of repeating.
Yeah, Bill mentioned the word stability and continuity, and you know who else had that? The 2011 Packers, and they won the Super Bowl the year before, then went 15-1, and inexplicably lost in the divisional round.
The Giants.
Not just lost, got
That's a long
creamed
time ago.
By the Giants. They got absolutely creamed.
So yeah.
History tells me it's going to be incredibly difficult, and on top of the fact that, yes, they are a wildly talented team, their schedule's kind of hard, especially in the beginning. They've got to face the Texans. They've got to face a division opponent in the Chargers. Yeah. And then they've got a really tough road schedule as well.
Wow. So now you're going Woody Page on us. You're telling us about the schedule, teams that haven't even played yet. And every road game, you may be playing in front of no fans. So what type of road disadvantage is that, I wonder? But let's drill down on Patrick Mahomes here. I said it, and I'm going to stand by it, okay? Higher expectations than any quarterback ever going into a season, all right? He's the reigning Super Bowl MVP. He won the MVP the year before that. So both of those before the age of 25, which is never done before, right? And he just signed for a half a bill. What is expectation? What's realistic right now for Mahomes? Bill Plaschke, first to you.
Oh, I think he's going to have a huge year. This is a guy, I know you're going to laugh when I say this. He has a chip on his shoulder. Remember, the NFL players voted on the best players last season, and he was only voted the third best quarterback. I don't care how much money you make. These guys are human beings. They have pride. He's got his weapons back. He's got his stability and continuity back. He's going to have a huge year. MVP.
Okay.
He'll have the MVP year. I'm calling it right now.
L. Duncan, you were shaking your head when Plaschke said he had a chip on his shoulder.
With $500 million, like, who here is begrudging Patrick Mahomes and not acting like he is an absolute megastar? I mean, nobody's made $500 million.
His
everyone
peers.
Has, and everyone has said up and down the aisle that, like, he 100% deserved it. I think the expectations are high, sure, but I also think he's in better position this year than he was even last year. He'll be healthy this year. He's returning most of a healthy unit, it looks like, anyway. And I think he does have the benefit of some stability and continuity. But this idea he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, stop it, Phil.
Listen to you guys. He's a human being. You're right, Plash. Plashkey's right on that, although he doesn't really play like one. He plays like a immortal. Okay. 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. I want somebody to give me something here that I can go home with. Kalisha?
48 touchdowns. How's that? Close. Very close.
Okay. Okay.
What he did in 2018. Not quite all the way back.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about this hangover from the pandemic? We're still in the pandemic, so it's not even a hangover. It's the fact that there were virtual training camps, that there were no preseason games. Do you expect the football we see tonight and this season to have a lot of rust, to look different in some way, Plashkey?
I think it'll be ugly football because they haven't had any preseason. But what's going to be uglier to me is the fact that the Chiefs are going to allow 18,000 fans into the stadium. Good for them. Bad for the NFL. Only 8 teams so far are going to allow fans in the stadium. How come it should be all or none? Every team should allow fans. If one can't, none should have that.
Goodell said there was no competitive advantage or disadvantage for teams that don't have fans. You don't believe that, L. Duncan? Are you with Plashkey there?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's a competitive advantage, but it does feel a little bit unfair that you're sort of at liberty of your public health officials and based on where you're living to allow fans in the stadium. But even a place like Kansas City, right, like that is known for their animus and Arrowhead is having a really hard time selling those tickets. So I don't think it's going to be germane to the outcome.
Right. So 16,000 tickets capped out today. Tim, how do you think that's going to play out in different stadia? And also, do you believe there's going to be, you know, no training camp, the virtual nature of it at least, and no preseason? Does that mean more rust?
I think the games will be very rusty. There'll be a lot of false starts. We see that in week one after they've played 4 preseason games. So I can't imagine what Houston, they're trying to figure out what David Johnson can do for them, what Brandon Cooks can do for them. They think those are going to help offset the loss of Hopkins. But they haven't run a single play against another team, and now they're starting out with the Chiefs. As far as Plashkey and the fans, though, I mean, it's not like there's 80,000 fans at Arrowhead and they're right on top of you. Every team is going to play its noise and do its stuff. I don't think there's an advantage.
That's not convincing you, Bill.
No, that's a joke. The electronic noise doesn't compare to the real fans.
Okay. Well, let's break down tonight.
Flat of a joke.
Mahomes and Watson, like I said, we might be seeing this for the next 15 years. I mean, these guys are being paid for the next 15 years in some cases. Who you got tonight? And what do you think of Houston this season? Elle, you want to start there?
Yeah, I'm gonna go against the grain here. I'm gonna pick the Texans just because I think the one glaring
spot on the
Chiefs is their run defense, which isn't particularly great. And I don't think that you have to have an intimate knowledge of the playbook to beat David Johnson to be able to get some. So I think they're gonna win it tonight.
Didn't you just say maybe you compared Kansas City to a 15-1 team, and you're saying that one loss is gonna be tonight? It's gonna be okay.
Last year, who you got tonight?
Chiefs by at least 2 touchdowns. It's not going to be close. Houston's revamped offense, revamped coaching staff. Houston's still in preseason mode.
And Kalisha.
Chiefs by a late Harrison Butker field goal. A closer game than you might expect.
Oh, no.
You guys are a fantasy team.
We waited 9 months. We waited 9 months. We're excited about Mahomes and Watson, and you got the kicker. There you go, Kalisha. We'll move on. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. That's what Rudy Tomjanovich said. Never underestimate the coach who's walking down the sideline and gets into the line of sight. This turnover here for Tatum, you know, at the end of regulation, Nurse's placement on the line. Here's what Jaylen Brown said after the game. A grown man should be able to control themselves. Coaching staffs should be able to control themselves. So the double overtime win for Toronto, but start with that play, Bill. Do you think Nick Nurse purposely got in Tatum's line of sight? Should this have been disallowed?
Now, these coaches are everywhere on the court in the bubble. You see this. They're everywhere. It should be allowed. And if Nurse maybe thought, maybe perhaps in his mind he might have been there on purpose, he's won 72% of his games after losses. That's the most in the NBA in the last 3 years. He's a good coach. He knows what he's doing.
Tim, when you saw Nurse on the sideline there and Tatum throw the ball to him, what were you thinking?
I thought he was the 6th Celtic on the court for a second there, and then he scurried out of the way. He knew he had both feet on the line. Technically, it's a violation. They haven't called that in years. I think they're going to talk about it, if they have an off season, about all these coaches being all over the floor.
L. Duncan.
And you should feel that way, Tim, because you've got some age on you. Jason Tatum is young enough to know that the 50-plus-year-old white dude with the glasses and the slacks and a gray shirt on in the corner is not a Celtic. I'm sorry.
What just happened
and
here?
Where were the other how do you explain the other 5 turnovers that he had in that half? Stop blaming Nick Nurse. Did he do it on purpose? Sure. But Jason Tatum shouldn't have fallen for it.
So you're all right. That's gamesmanship, I think you would say then, right?
Yes.
Because he did kind of bashfully run away. What did Kalischer say? Scurried away? Yeah, he scurried away. This game got a little hairy at the end. Gamesmanship, but also some fouls. Kemba Walker, was he fouled? Foul on an alley-oop is not a shooting foul. I mean, that's kind of just intriguing. And Marcus Smart wanted a foul on the last play. I mean, Marcus Smarting, but anything to any of those, Elle.
So I think that it shouldn't have been called a shooting foul on the alley-oop pass because he didn't have control of it. Kemba Walker's never going to get that call on that drive at the end of the game. But Marcus Smart was 100% fouled. By Marc Gasol. However, I feel like maybe that's just retribution for that terrible flop that he got fined for earlier in the season.
You think? Yeah. Between Marcus Smart and Kyle Lowry, they spend more time on the floor than a kindergarten class. Tim Kalischer.
You drive to the hoop at your own risk in the bubble. You make a play. You don't expect the referee's whistle to blow. They're not blowing them.
Well, maybe not when he goes. But we did see fouls on the last second shot in the Houston series last year. And how about you, Bill Plaschke?
Tony, you said it's intriguing, the alley-oop play. No, it's insane. How does an alley-oop play not get called for a shooting foul? That's the definition of alley-oop is you're shooting. You're the oop. The oop gets called. He did the oop. He should have been fouled. Yeah. Should have been a shooting foul.
There have been more whistles in the last 5 seconds of games in the bubble, I think, than outside of it. And I think it's part of those no fans there, and you're not really feeling the heat if you're a referee. I mean, the Giannis foul from 2 games ago, the other foul with seconds remaining from 2 games ago. The Toronto Raptors, you guys never, never give them enough credit. A point off for everybody. How does this team do it night in and night out? You gave the stats, so that's part of the reason, Plaschke, that Nick Nurse's win percentage after a loss is better than anybody's. But how did they do this, and do you think they could do it again in Game 7?
Yeah, they do this because they have veteran leadership and guys who have been there. Kyle Lowry has 30 points in 3 elimination games in his career. That's amazing to me. They do it with role players like Norman Powell, scored 10 points in the double overtime. They do it with a lot of heart. Rudy Tomjanovich is cliche. It's true.
Mm-hmm. L. Duncan?
Well, they do it in this series with their bench, which is why they've got the upper hand tonight, because their bench markedly better than the Celtics bench. In fact, over the last 2 games, they've got 50 points more than the Celtics bench. And after as long as they played in that gauntlet, they're going to need it.
You said tonight. It is tomorrow night. That'd be something if they were turning around a double overtime game and playing
tomorrow night.
The next night. And Kalischer
are playing tonight, L.
Amazing.
Oh, Plaschke, come on. Tim, last word on how Toronto's doing this.
You know, I admire what Toronto's done. There's no question, and we probably have underplayed them. Take another point away from me. I've been very, 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 poor at giving them the credit they deserve. But when this series was even at 0-0, when it was even at 2-2, what happened? The Celtics owned them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Taking a break right here. We're going to have a talk, Kalischer, you and I, where you got that Miami Dolphins shirt. I really want to know. Is that a throwback of some kind? Buy or sell us in 2 minutes. Stick around.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I mean, that's really up to the play calls. It's really up to the coaches, who they want to put the ball in whose hand. We kept going to Yoke and Maul, and that's, I think that's, they're two amazing players, so you can never get mad at that. But I just think to beat that team, we got to get more players involved. We got to move the ball a little bit better. We can't be predictable against that team.
Michael Porter Jr., after Denver's 96-85 loss to the Clippers, he's calling out the play calling. Is he right or wrong, El?
I mean, he's definitely right, right? But this is what the Nuggets do. Like, Jokic and Murray always have about 175 touches a game. That's a significant amount. And the point is that Michael Porter Jr., I don't think, is at a position where he can publicly call out his team before he's at least addressed it in the locker room. Because on a team that is garbage on defense, he's the absolute worst. And in fact, Michael Porter Jr. is the worst defender that is still left in the playoffs. But you don't see anybody throwing him under the bus when people ask why they're giving up 170 points a game.
Tim Kalishaw?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is he's actually trying to compliment the Clippers. They're saying against a team like that, we need to have everybody going. We need more than just the two weapons. The problem beyond what Elle said about his youth is that usually when a player is saying that, it's frequently guys who aren't moving, who aren't doing things to get open, to get the ball in those situations. They do a lot of standing around, and they're part of the problem.
Murray had 18 on 40% shooting. Jokic had 26 on just under 50. And Porter had 15 on 5 of 8. Didn't get many touches in the second half. How'd you hear him, Plaschke?
We want our players to be honest and being transparent, and when they are, we rip them for it. No, I think he was fine. I've sat around and listened to a young Kobe Bryant say this kind of stuff all the time. Porter's an exceptional talent. He had 37 touches. Jokic and Murray combined for 215 touches. When you have that much of a disparity, the other players stand around. The role players get stagnant. It hurts the offense. And I'm sure he's talked about it with his coaches. I have no problem with him saying what he said.
Plaschke, you called him an exceptional talent. But you also invoked Kobe Bryant's name in comparison to him there. I'll take note of that. All right, we'll move on. Buy or sell two. Saints, Buccaneers, biggest game on schedule this weekend. Let's dive inside. Brady and Breeze, they've played a combined 560 games in the league. This is just their sixth head-to-head. It's 3-2 Breeze. And Brady, an underdog for the first time in 74 regular season games. Drew Brees this week said he's on borrowed time, aren't we all? This is the borrowed time bowl, Tim Kalishaw. Who are you buying? Who are you selling in this one, Brady or Brees?
Why do you come to me on borrowed time topics? I don't get the order.
It's just the order.
The way this show is being constructed here. You know, I'd rather be Brees right now. He's got a better team. He's got a lot more certainty of what he's doing within the scheme of that team. Brady's going to be fun to watch. I don't buy what everybody else buys in terms of them being a playoff team this year. We'll see, but I'd rather be Breeze right now.
Mm-hmm. Bill Plaschke?
I'd rather be Brady right now. He's got more weapons. He's got a fresher outlook. The Saints, it's almost like they've been hitting their head against the wall. They've won more games than anybody in the last 3 years, and they're 2-3 in the postseason. They have to be wondering, what can they do? Brady's got a new outlook on everything, and again, he's got a great offensive mind, a great offensive coach. I'll take Brady.
Okay. A lot to dig in here, El. You had Tim saying Tampa's not making the playoffs. You had Bill saying Brady's got more weapons than Drew Brees. What do you want?
It's really weird, though, because if my memory serves me, Bill was saying earlier in the show, stability and continuity is why the Chiefs are probably going to win the Super Bowl again. And now he's going to pick a dude who hasn't played a single
Plaschke, this is not going to be good for your score. Plaschke.
Plaschke's
going down.
I'm so confused, Bill. Of course you're not in this situation. He's the monster that you know, Bill.
I'll take
Bill, you can clarify. You need to clarify here.
If you wanted Brady or Breeze, I'll take the guy with 6 Super Bowls. That's continuity. 6 Super Bowls is continuity.
With a different team.
Tim, you want to make one last comment here? Maybe you could go over the top on Plaschke?
I'm just afraid of Elle memorizing something I said earlier
Tell us about this Miami Dolphins throwback you're working here. Whoever sold you that shirt, Tim, has got a great sense of humor. Is it a Dolphins button-down? What are we looking at here?
I think Jimmy Johnson gave me this shirt. No, it's not a Dolphin shirt. It's just a shirt that pops on TV. That's what we're going for here, is a little pop.
Yeah, it wasn't enough to pop you over Plaschke and Duncan. Say goodbye, Timmy. Elle and Bill, I want more of that heat in Showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
L. Duncan, Bill Plaschke, good luck in showdown. 29-9. 29 runs last night. The Atlanta Braves scored on Miami. Second most runs ever in a game. The grand slam in the seventh made it 29. Nobody tell the unwritten rules. Nobody tell Tim's Rangers. Guys, they changed extra innings and doubleheaders this year. So I ask, should baseball have a mercy rule? L. Duncan, first to you.
No, if there's no mercy rule for forcing us to watch Red Sox-Yankees games that are 6 hours long and end in a 3-2 score, then why should there be one for 29-run outbursts? That was fantastic.
Okay. Well, you are a Braves fan. And Plaschke, how about you?
You're going to need a mercy rule for this showdown, Tony. No mercy rule for baseball, but shout out to Jordan Yamamoto. The Marlins pitcher gave up 12 runs in 2 2/3 innings, took one for the team. Way to go, kid.
Wow, I wasn't expecting a shout-out for the pitcher who gave up 12 runs. Okay.
Yeah, because
you're right about the mercy rule. You're right about the mercy rule. It's a 3-point answer for Duncan now. Let's go. Showdown two. 8.8 seconds left. 8.8 seconds left. The game-winning goal by Kucherov. The reaction by John Cooper just as great. Tampa's up 2-0 on the Islanders. Did Tampa win this or New York blow it, Bill?
Tampa won it by staying aggressive to the end, and the way Cooper acted like that, Tampa's going to win this series. I'm calling this series over right now because of Cooper's reaction.
Okay. All right.
The Islanders lost this because they spent over 10 minutes with the man advantage and couldn't take advantage of that despite the fact that the best penalty killer on the other team was benched very early.
Was not playing. Yeah. Well, that was actual information from the series. Thank you very much, L. Plaschke's calling a series over off about 3 fist bumps. That's all right. Fine.
Did you see what he said?
Point Duncan. We'll move on. Showdown 3, Lakers-Rockets game 4 tonight. You know my theory, statistically more series have a game 4 than a game 5. For Houston to pull this off tonight and get back in the series, what do they have to do, Al?
They have to not blow it in the fourth quarter. The Lakers haven't gone to the fourth quarter with a lead in any game this series, and yet they sit where they are because the Rockets just completely fall apart.
And Plaschke, can you even answer this question? Is it possible?
They say where the Rockets have not blown anything. The Lakers have taken it, L. Come on. The Lakers, Houston has no chance. This series is over with. I wrote it in the LA Times yesterday. Series is done.
Yes. Yes, I did read that. I did read that you called this series over as well, Plaschke. Speaking of L, you're getting one, Bill. And we're getting one for FaceTime. 30 seconds, L. Duncan.
Okay. We were talking about, of course, the Texans and the Chiefs playing tonight, but I wanted to draw attention to Deshaun Watson in an article from our Tim Kuen that's on ESPN.com right now that I thought was fantastic. They talked about Deshaun Watson coming into his own as someone who's being more vocal now about talking about racial injustice. And I don't want to paraphrase, so I want to read this line about why he's landed here now. Quote, he struggled to push back against the system because he benefited from it, and any criticism he might offer lands on the ears of the benefactors as a betrayal. So many of us face that exact understanding. So I thought it's a great article that you should check out for tonight's game.
Thank you for that, L. Deshaun Watson. Soon to be 1-0, according to you. Enjoy the game tonight.